It has been a long season, but it has been a successful season once again for the Memphis Tigers football team, and it culminates in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl game on Friday against Iowa State. And it's time now to talk to Coach Silverfield.
It's time to talk Memphis Tigers football. It's Sports 56 Mornings weekly visit with Tigers head coach Ryan Silverfield. Brought to you by ATC Fitness, with 18 locations in Memphis and the Mid-South. Now, here's Coach Silverfield with Greg and Eli.
He is the head coach of the Memphis Tigers. He is Ryan Silverfield. You can follow him on Twitter at @rsilverfield. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, guys. How are y'all?
Doing fantastic. Happy holidays to you. Look, this time of the year, we always wonder, all right, who's into this thing? Who's into the bowl game? It seems like every year, because I'm around you guys, I know that you guys are fired up to have this opportunity to play a Big 12 team. Seems like it's all smiles when I see the guys talk about this game. How has it gone so far for you in your preparations and now in your final preps for the game on Friday?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think we're looking out throughout college football, and this year more now than ever, it's which team really wants it, which players are still available, who's going to go out there with the inspiration to go out there and have success and one last time. So our guys have been wonderful. They've had the right mindset, the right approach, just like they have all year, regardless of the game. I've been pleased with their effort and their focus, and you know, the preparation's going well. You know, we're winding down as we get closer. We'll have our walkthrough this morning at our facility, and then tomorrow will be our last run-through, and then before you know it, we'll be kicking off at 2:30 on Friday in Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium for the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. But the guys are very excited. They understand the opponent and the ability to go get 10 wins. I think that's something, you know, to be one of the top five teams in program history and wins would be huge.
How different does it make it bowl week when you are at home, when you're in your own facility, when you're going to be playing in your own stadium? Does it make it easier? What kind of differences does it make compared to a normal bowl week?
Sure. And, you know, that was a question, whether our guys would be, excited about the opportunity to, hey, we're just going to drive a few minutes downtown and stay at this beautiful Sheraton on the river. You know, a little bit different than loading a plane full of 200 people and going to Hawaii. But their guys have been great. They've handled it the right way. They're excited. I think the understanding of what our stadium's about, having our great fans here, making it easier for them and affordable for them to attend a game rather than having to travel. I think those are all advantages, right? Being able to use our own locker room, not only at the stadium, but at the facility as well. So there's all those perks and positives. So a lot of our guys were excited. You know, it was able to give them Christmas Day off. A lot of them were able to spend time with their coaches, you know, at their homes, or even, you know, travel to local players' homes and spend the holidays with them. So all those things, I think, have made it worthwhile, and couldn't be more excited.
You talked about this time of the year with opt-outs. You just don't know about particular teams. I mean, we're looking at Florida State's down 19 players for their game against Georgia. You've had a couple, but not a lot. Iowa State, I haven't heard much about that. This seems like also a team that is excited to be in Memphis. They were in 2017 when you guys played them. So I would imagine this is going to be one of those bowl games where I think both teams bring their best. So with that said, what are your expectations against this Big 12 opponent?
Yeah, we've had a handful of starters that have elected to go try the transfer portal, and that's okay. That's where we're at in college football. Iowa State has really not lost anybody of substance, at least on the surface. None of their starters have appeared to do this. So I know they're excited. It's a Big 12 opponent that has had a lot of success. All you need to do is go back and watch their last game on the road at Kansas State, where their young running back ran for over 200 yards. Where, you know, they play stifling defense. They've led the Big 12 in defense back-to-back years. We're going to have our hands full. They're a very talented team. Coach Campbell, you know, and Coach Haycock, their D coordinator, have been there for a long time. Have had a lot of success, and they're going to be playing inspired football as well. So we're going to come out swinging like we always do. Our guys got great belief in what we're capable of, and really excited about this matchup.
You mentioned that defense, and year after year they produce a really good defense. They've had 16 interceptions this year, which is among the top 10 in the country. I think three of their defensive backs were all Big 12 selections. So what is it about this defense that makes them so good? What do you have to be able to do against them?
Yeah, they're very consistent. They're a 3-3-5 defense, but they play with a middle safety. and he is a free hitter that comes down and makes plays, but then it changes up your reads, right? You're not sure, hey, is that middle safety? Are they trying to play a cover three? All of a sudden, is he playing a Tampa two? Are they rolling down to some type of three-week coverage? And so they do a great job of being able to disguise it, and then they feel like their three guys up front can be able to handle it. And so I think that's one of the things why they've had success. And here's the deal. It's not just a flash in the pan. It's year after year after year. Tiger fans will remember in 2017, when we rolled out on the field with the right guys like Darrell Henderson and Tony Pollard and lots of good players, Anthony Miller, and they held us to 20 points, you know. And so, look, we're gonna have to do it. We got to be consistent. We have to own the football. I showed our team just even, you know, Christmas, I asked them how many of those guys watch the NFL games. And, you know, and I showed them the stats in the Baltimore Ravens, San Francisco 49ers football game. And in every category, except for turnovers, the 49ers dominate. And I just said, look, this game is going to come down to that. And Iowa State has done a fantastic job of capitalizing on turnovers, and we're going to have to own the football, play effectively. And, you know, and for our defense, obviously we're down our defense coordinator. We got to go out there and tackle better than we ever have.
Ryan Silverfield joining us, head coach of the University of Memphis Tigers football team, gearing up for Friday's AutoZone Liberty Bowl game against Iowa State. You mentioned you had a couple of starters opt out. They happen to be on the offensive line, protecting for Seth, and then to get that running game going is of utmost importance. Is that the biggest concern going in, is maybe being a lack of players, let's just say numbers, on the offensive line?
Well, I think anytime, you know, those opportunities where you always want to have continuity at every position. But anytime you get a chance to have five guys playing together time and time again is huge. And unfortunately, that's where we're at, right? Really, the starting left tackle and starting right guard are no longer with the program. And so we got guys that can step up and do a nice job. We shuffled some of the guys. And great faith, right? Coach Myers, actually our offensive line coach, was at Iowa State for 5 years. But I believe wholeheartedly, and so does the entire offense and those guys that we're going to put up front to handle the run game and also protect the quarterback. And they're going to do an excellent job.
The Iowa State's got a young quarterback, a freshman quarterback, but he started every game this year. So what do you see out of their offense?
Yeah, so always redshirt freshman, I think he's the same age as our three-year starting quarterback. I always go back to that because everybody's like, he's so young. I'm like, really? Well, he's the same age as our guy. We're so used to hearing about the 26-year-old that's eight.
You know, yeah, exactly.
You know, going into year 12, and I can't make too many jokes about that because we had one that was getting his doctorate. So anyways, all that being said.
There you go.
You know, I think their offense is going to line up, and I think they're going to try to line up in 12 personnel and big bodies and try to run it down our throat and try to take shots. I mean, I think that's what they do. They got some big body wide receivers. They got length at tight end, but I think they're going to line up and say, okay, hey, we're a Big 12 team. We feel like we're bigger and stronger than you. We're going to line up and try to run it down your throat and then take play action shots. And I believe that's what the game plan we're getting. I don't mind saying that because we've got to be able to line up and stop it. And, you know, there's sometimes a season we have and other times where we haven't. And if we're not able to do it, then it's going to be, you know, a tough sled on Friday afternoon. But our guys are up for the challenge for sure.
As you have prepared your team for this battle on Friday, you completed the early signing period being extremely excited about the class you got coming in. I know you addressed the media, I think it was last week, but just a real brief brief recap for our listeners out there, Ryan. I know that you were smiling ear to ear with the job you guys were able to do, both with the portal and then obviously with incoming freshmen and junior college players.
Yeah, look, that's where we're at. I do smile when you say early signing because I don't know if we're signing anybody in February. I don't know if there's space. But yeah, look, I think you got to find the mixture. I think you can't sit there and say, hey, we're not going to take any high school kids. Hey, we're only taking transfer, or the other way around. So we tried to dive into each bucket, right? We got a handful of high school guys we're really excited about. I believe this is probably the best incoming freshman wide receiver class we've ever put together. Four guys we got a lot of excitement for. You know, just and you know, a lot of good pieces to that puzzle with that incoming freshman. I still think that's how you build a program, develop them, and hopefully get to keep them. It'll be interesting when we have this conversation in 4 or 5 years, how many of those guys are
right
still within the program. Hopefully quite a few. But then you look at, you know, you still got to be able to take advantage of junior colleges. And I think obviously having those great Mississippi junior colleges close by has been helpful to us. And then, right, the transfer portal. It's something you got to take advantage of. you know, and I don't mind sharing with listeners. Obviously, we're going to have some guys that can go in the portal after our bowl game. That's the way it works. And, you know, it's a numbers game, right? Everybody wants to add all these guys, but at some point, I don't think we're allowed to go in the next season with 160 guys. you know, this isn't Junction Boys where we're allowed to go out there and just get as many as we want on the field and figure it out. So, but no, it very excited. Credit to our coaching staff and the support staff and the recruiting department, everybody involved. They did a phenomenal job. And kind of like I said at Media Day, recruiting to Memphis has become, I don't want to say easy, but it's just sells itself. We got, you know, our university, what we've been able to do with the internships, our graduation rate within our football program, the people, the city itself. I'm so pleased, you know, we put it all together and put together a wonderful class.
You talked about, obviously, losing your defensive coordinator, so you've got an interim DC. When that happens, how do you kind of decide on who's going to be doing that, and how does that work for that staff going into this bowl game?
Yeah, you know, so the first time I got thrust into that was the Cotton Bowl, right? You know, hey, by the way, you're losing the guy that calls it the offensive play. You're losing the guy that calls it the defensive play. Good luck. And so, you know, I think that's one of those things, Eli, that we're going to see, you know, moving forward, right? You're always going to have staff turnover. And I think, and I always quote it because I think it's important for fans to understand. I think there's over 500 Division I coaches and just Division I alone position coaches that changed jobs last year. So if that's where we're at. It's kind of like the portal for players and coaches. But, you know, going in, I looked and said, okay, how can we get the staff? And that's the great thing is, you know, Charles Clark, Kyle Pope and Jordan Hankins have all been with us for at least 3 years. And so that's huge because, you know, it's one thing if you had a guy that doesn't understand or had just kind of been there briefly, but they all work together great. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we got to be smart with giving our guys what they can handle. I mean, it's not like we're, you know, some people think we're out there practicing every day for a month. You know, they had some time off with exams and, you know, just to get their bodies back right. So go out there and try to just execute what we've done all season, but at a higher level. And we've got to be able to go out in there and do that. But credit to those guys. They've, you know, a man down on the defensive side, but they've done a nice job of rallying together. And hopefully we can see it with the product on the field.
All right, before we let you go, we've talked about the future of college football and maybe things that would make it better. And right now they're kind of at a crossroads to try to improve the game. In a perfect world, wouldn't it be better to have everything after the bowl games? I mean, everything. Coaches can't move. Players can't go into a portal. There's no early recruiting maybe until January. Have all the bowl games, have the playoffs all completed, and then you have mass hysteria. Because to have mass hysteria while it's all going on, I think it devalues some of these games as well. What would you do, Ryan, to change it, to make it better?
Yeah, Greg, I mean, that's great. I think that's the magic thing. You know, anytime a head coach gets on and complains about the way college football is, right, the media will snap back and say, well, you make so much money, so be quiet. And, you know, you get guys like Dave Clawson, guys that have, you know, they're intelligent, they've done it at a high level. They're just trying to speak out respectively, trying to find ways to make this.
Right.
Because the reality of it is, this is not good for the game. And what we're doing, and we can sit there and say it's great for player rights and I understand all that. I get that, right? I understand that, you know, there's battles that will continue. I always want what's best for the players. I think NIL is great, and I think the ability to transfer. But it seems like they've kind of just thrown their hands up in the air and said, hey, let's let it be what it is. Mm-hmm. And I think you talk to any head coach throughout college football, and, you know, and at some point we got to say, hey, head coaches, stop complaining, figure it out. But this is not the right way to go about things. There's no... It's not just, we keep saying it's not sustainable. It's not, you know, I mean, when you're working more hours, you know, on December 22nd than you are August 22nd, there's, I don't know, excuse me, you know, if that's necessarily the right thing. But again, I do believe is there a way to get all the bowl games moved up a couple weeks? I don't know if that's possible because you do have exams. You still have student athletes. I still believe in the education piece of this. And how do you get more players playing these bowls? I think, you know, we're always going to have challenges, and I think there's, you know, I don't know if there's one answer. Mm-hmm. I wish I had that. I do wish there was some a semblance of normalcy. I mean, literally, you know, you wake up 3 days ago and there's a new rule change that totally throws everything for a loop. And
right.
The person that made that rule change has never once sat or laid foot on a football field, and it drastically changes the way you go about things. and that's where we're at. And so, you know what, instead of sitting here and saying boo-hoo, mm-hmm. you get ahead of it and you put your foot on the gas and you say, okay, good. All right, instead of let's work 120 hours this week and let's go find the best players, let's put together the best game plan, let's go. It's turned into mass hysteria, but you can't back away from it. You just got to jump to the fire. So guess what? I've thrown everything I got into this thing, and it may kill
right.
me.
Right.
That's what we're doing. I hope on the 30th, maybe I can close my eyes for a few hours and then wake back up.
Get a cat nap in there, Ryan. That's all you need.
You guys are the visitors technically in this game. So have you had like a practice run out of the locker room and going right rather than going left?
Yeah, that's guess what? But usually I'm the one that leads them out of the locker room. Maybe I'll let somebody else. We'll probably have to have the whoever, like, hey, can we get the cheerleaders and the band to kind of turn us to that way? So there's no, I'm going to have to keep reminding myself because, you know, you veer left for 8 straight years and all of a sudden but one last time, hey, let's be right.
They may need signs out there, but there still will be for those who want to be there for it. There will be a Tiger walk. It just won't be through Tiger Lane. It'll be through the Silver parking lot. Is that correct, Ryan?
That is correct. I don't know the exact logistics of it, but yeah, there's going to be a Tiger walk, and we'd love to have our fans out there early. I mean, it means so much to our guys to be out there, especially in such a meaningful bowl game. If they can get out there and support, it always means the world to our guys.
All right. Well, listen, nothing but success to you. We'll see you out there on Friday. Really appreciate your time. We know how busy your schedule is.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys. Looking forward to seeing all of our Tiger fans at the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. Happy holidays. Go Tigers.
Thank you, Coach.